This is the Chad Whittle Podcast.
Welcome to the podcast, and I really appreciate you taking the time to listen, because there's now a million podcasts on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. A million. So there's a ton of shows you can listen to. Now, how many of those shows are active is anyone's guess, but there's a million shows listed on Apple and Spotify, and that continues to grow. So I really appreciate you taking some time out of your day to join me on this program. And my guest today is the editor, publisher, and founder of Talkers, the leading radio trade publication serving the talk media industry in America. He's also the host of the Michael Harrison Interview, a weekly podcast, and the syndicated Michael Harrison Rap on radio. Michael, good to have you here.
Chad, it's great to be with you, and hopefully we'll have a couple of listeners in the murky world of 1 million podcasts.
That's unbelievable, isn't it? 1 million.
Yeah, yeah. It's like when the telephone was invented. I guess everybody has a telephone. I guess everybody has a podcast. Everybody has a typewriter. It doesn't guarantee you'll write the great American novel. It doesn't guarantee that anybody will take your call. And it doesn't guarantee that anybody's going to listen to your podcast. But we sure can get out there and have the potential to have anybody in the world hear what we do. And that's a good start. The key, of course, is give your listeners a meaningful experience. Have a reason for them to listen. Target it. Serve some type of need, as opposed to just having a reason to, you know, flap your gums and be on some kind of ego trip.
Absolutely. You really have to be really interesting to stand out now with, you know, 1 million podcasts, and that continues to grow, plus YouTube. And there's so many ways now for audiences to consume audio content.
Yeah, you can hide in plain sight. It's like having your name in the, back to the telephone analogy, it's like having your name in the phone book and then sitting there waiting for everybody to call you. You're not necessarily going to get a call. And even though technically you're in everybody's home, and it's the same thing. With the internet, we have the democratization of media. Anybody can be in the game. Anybody can create a product that anybody in the world can hear or watch or read. But the fact that everybody does it has changed the nature of what we consider to be a larger-than-life vetted platform. That, wow, you're on the platform. Hey, your picture's in the newspaper. Oh, I heard you on the radio. Hey, did you see me on television? There was once a time when those were big deals. The silver screen in a movie theater. Somebody's a movie actor. Well, now everybody's a movie actor. Everybody has a radio show. Everybody has a TV show. Everybody is in touch with everybody. And we're going into a very, very different social paradigm. Add to it what's going on right now as we're speaking with the pandemic. And we're moving, in terms of technological communications or communications technology, is a better way of saying it. For every day, it's like we're moving forward a week. It's going to be like 2030 by the time we're done with 2020. That's how fast forward we're going in terms of the new technological paradigm of the 21st century.
It's interesting because now anyone can be syndicated. 20 yeah. years ago, if you want to be nationally syndicated, you had to go on the radio, work your way up, like Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, all those guys did. Now, all you need is a podcast, and not only are you nationally syndicated, you are internationally syndicated, because anyone around the world can tune in, download your podcast.
Correct. So again, it raises the bar on what you need to do as opposed to how you break in. When I was up and coming in the media business, it was a matter of breaking in. And breaking in was such a big deal that you would do whatever it took once you were in to stay in. You would do things that you don't necessarily agree with or that are not necessarily your forte. You would play the part that the platform wants you to play. Now it's a little bit different.
So let's talk about the talk radio stars of tomorrow. Everyone knows the big names, Rush and Hannity, Glenn Beck, Dave Ramsey. A lot of these top names that are nationally syndicated, they had to work their way up small town, medium market, eventually nationally syndicated. So are there a couple of guys out there maybe hosting a podcast or maybe are on the radio side that's growing a following, gaining an audience that could be the talk radio stars of tomorrow?
There are, but I'm not going to name any of them because there are too many. And if I name one or two or three, then I'm touting some new talent out there. And I would prefer not to do that. So suffice it to say that, yes, obviously with a million podcasts out there, there've got to be at least a handful, if not a dozen, if not 100, maybe even 1,000 people out there who are doing shows and talking, not to mention all across the country. There are radio stations. There are people on the air. The big names that you mention are the big names, but there's so much more going on in audio media, and there are people of all ages doing it. So, yeah, I'm optimistic that there will always be commentators, pundits, hosts, moderators, facilitators, you know, talk show hosts, to use the term that we use in the industry. I'm not sure what the platform will be. I'm not sure what the future of the radio station is, but there'll always be audio entertainment on a platform. It'll be on the internet, obviously. There will always be people to talk. So I'm optimistic. I don't know if it's going to be the same type of business or the same type of devices that we use today, because the business is changing. All business is changing, again, because of what we're going through, not to mention changes in technology. And society is changing. But the very idea of people being professional raconteurs, storytellers, interviewers, hosts, moderators, this is eternal. There'll always be that, and there'll always be people to do it. I want to just take one other angle on what you said. A lot of times people ask me, well, who are the new ones coming up to replace the old ones? One of the things that is often said about talk radio is the audience is dying off and the talent is dying off. Well, audiences don't die off. New people, you get new old people. Just like when people graduate from 12th grade, they don't close the high school. There's new 12th graders. There'll be new old people. There hopefully will always be new old people. And the programming for old people will be for the old people of the time. It's not like we don't have anybody over 65 anymore, unless, of course, the current nursing home crisis continues with the coronavirus, but that's a different issue. So there'll be new audiences and there'll be new talent. If you are on the radio for 3 or 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, spontaneously, without, you know, script writers and all the things that go into television or other media, movies, you know, you're out there exposed all by yourself. You're talking about the issues, you're taking calls, you're talking to guests, things are flying around without a script. It doesn't take very long, Chad, before you're exposed if you don't have any kind of life experience or you don't know what you're talking about. You might be wrong. You might have the wrong opinion, but at least it's based on some type of experience in life. So it really is a format for people who've been around the block a few times. So it's not necessarily a handicap if somebody's in their 50s, 60s, 70s, or even beyond to be viable on talk radio, whereas a lot of young people are maybe better suited for playing music or comedy, different forms of entertainment. But heavy-duty discussion of the issues, heavy-duty discussions of relationships, medicine, finance, politics, the things we talk about, and you can do it every day, day after day, spontaneously, you'd better have some life experience under your belt, or it doesn't take long for you to be revealed as not really knowing your stuff and being kind of shallow.
You are so, I agree with everything you just said. And I've noticed, I'm 34, that, you know, people change too. The way they acted, the thoughts they had, their interests at 20 is different in 30 when they're 40. And I've noticed just on Facebook, people that I knew from high school or friends of mine, you know, even family members, their opinions different now than when they were younger. They were more interested in the topics that you mentioned. And I noticed a lot of them are posting more political clips from talk radio shows, from cable news, from websites. So a lot of people my age, they're hitting that age now. They're settling down. They got families. They got kids. Taxes, politics is becoming more of an important, you know, aspect of their lives. And there's your future old people, as you said. They're 34 now, and they're getting into talk radio, into all this talk media as we speak.
Right. You recently got married. You're in your mid-30s. Well, as the years go by and you develop family, you buy a house, you're dealing with your career at a certain point, you're clearly going to become more interested in government, in real estate, in taxes, in public safety, in healthcare, Social Security. I mean, I could name a million topics that somebody who's 15, 18, 20, 25 years old just may not be interested in, or certainly may not find entertaining. But they will when they get to that age. I'm always baffled why the conversation is always as if the demographics are set in stone and people don't change. So I'm never worried when people say, what are you going to do when your audience dies off? There'll be a new audience. Yeah, but they're interested in new, they're interested in new aspects on taxes, on politics, on healthcare. It's the same thing. So, yeah, I don't worry about that argument. To me, it's a ridiculous argument. I believe that radio, for the radio industry to survive the crisis of the radio station becoming increasingly obsolete in light of the internet. The radio station meaning a tower, a license, limited broadcast area, transmitters, all of that stuff that made up the paradigm of the old radio business. In order for it to survive, it's going to have to start expanding the formats that it provides to all demographics. There should be stations for teens. There should be stations for people in their 20s. There should be stations for people who are older. The advertising dollars that are dictating the way programming goes don't cover the whole spectrum. And one of the biggest mistakes radio makes is it's underserving the upper demos. The upper demos have all the money, they have all the influence, and they are very active in politics, and they're active consumers. And yet, most of the advertising agencies, they want millennials, millennials, millennials. Nothing wrong with millennials either. I think that's fine. But I don't think radio promotes itself and markets itself to all the potential demographics and pockets of population, if you will, that they could in order to survive and make money. So they're going to do some thinking.
Absolutely. I'll talk to my students about a lot of these topics. And one thing that they bring up is a lot of times they don't listen to the radio as much as they used to because, you know, well, they don't have topics or music that I'm interested in. That's why I listen to Spotify. And it's not that they wouldn't listen. It's just there's not something for them that they're interested in.
That's right. And that's the problem. They would listen. People find if people hear this programming that they want to hear or see or watch, they'll go to it. They'll find it. But they're not going to go to it because it's on the radio. Most people don't even own radios anymore. Most radio listening in 2020 is online, even though the ratings don't indicate that. The ratings are going through a transition right now that makes let's just say the word estimate is about the most accurate word I could use. They're estimates. No one knows for sure who's listening and who's not listening. There are no wires. There's no box office. There are no tickets being sold. There's no books coming off the shelf. There's no retail. It's a nebulous, mystical concept. And My personal opinion, based upon my professional expertise, is that we already are at a point where people are listening to what we call radio online, and many of them don't even know it. Many people don't even realize that their smartphone is a computer with a phone app on it. They actually think of it as a telephone, and they think of it also as a radio. But it's not a radio, it's a computer. You're listening online when you're listening to your transistor radio-esque smartphone. So these are part of the transitions that radio is going through today, and eventually, hopefully, things will settle in a way that this wonderful medium that we have called radio will find an existence on the internet. Because if radio doesn't either make its programming so spectacular that young people will go and buy radios to hear it, if radio doesn't integrate into online broadcasting and settle there, it will die as an industry. It will not survive. It cannot survive at its present state of not serving all the potential markets and not bringing them to the radio. It's too challenging. They won't be around.
I believe a lot of times people my age and younger, they're listening to more radio than they realize because they have the app on their phone and they don't realize, oh, the iHeartRadio app, this is radio. It's just on my phone, not an AM, FM. Because they all have the apps on their phones. That's how they're streaming local radio, streaming music, the apps on their phone.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's radio to me, but it's not AM, FM radio, which means you don't have to own a radio station and all the expense that goes into owning a radio station and all of the hassle that goes into maintaining a radio station, FCC regulations, electric bills, the complex technology of running a transmitter, the complex unwieldy nature of running a tower with tower lights and steeplejacks and all the stuff that goes into running a radio station. All you have to do is do what we're doing on this podcast and put it on the radio app. You don't even need to put it on the radio app. So that's why I'm saying the future of the radio business, which has all of its assets tied up in that that system that I just described, is in peril if it doesn't transition to the internet in a way that makes it still be radio in the minds of the user and still have that 100-year history of what we all understand as radio, a certain kind of programming, a certain attitude, a certain showbiz quality, a certain immediacy and grassroots culture. You know, what is radio? That's a very interesting discussion. And you as a teacher in media, I'm sure you'll find what I'm saying interesting. That we have to define what we mean by radio. But I do believe that it's worth preserving, but it has to be preserved online. I don't believe people are going to go running out now to buy AM and FM radios in case the electricity goes out. I'd hate to see radio become a candle, you know, the candle of media. Or when I was a kid, we used to call it Sterno. It was just something you bought in a can and you lit it if there's a hurricane because you had no electricity. So you had a little can of a flame that has, yeah, I don't know if you remember Sterno, but I'd hate to see radio become the Sterno of media when people say, you know, well, a hurricane comes, you lose the electricity, you turn to radio. Now, I don't think radio should just relegate itself to being the medium you turn to during natural disasters. I think that radio should treat every day as a natural disaster and serve people with information, entertainment, and content that they really, really need. And if you can't think of what that is, get out of the business.
You're right. I know my phone, it beeps, you know, in the middle of bad weather. I don't need to go turn on the radio to hear it. It wakes me up at 3:00 in the morning with the alerts. You're right. They need to offer something other than just weather alerts and traffic. And even that's now on an app. But if they could bring back what makes radio great, which It's personalities. That's like talk radio, personalities. That gives you a reason to tune in. That's content you're not going to receive on an app, on a weather app.
Right. It's not, what you're basically saying is, it's not utilitarian. It's more magical. I don't want to say it's all show business, because news and information and somebody keeping you company, yeah, it's a form of show business, but it's more than that. But no, it's not the place where people need to go to get the weather. No, it's not the place where people need to go to get school closings. It's not the place where people have to go to get traffic. It's not even the place people have to go to get the news. When you think about it, back in the old days, we had an AP machine at our radio station, and most people didn't have AP machines in their homes. So we would get the news, in the teletype, tick, 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 and you'd rip it off and you'd either read it right from there or you'd embellish it or whatever. And then you'd go on the air and people would find out what's happening in the world because you had that magic box at the radio station called a teletype. Well, now everybody's got a teletype. People don't need to go to the radio station to find. You can find the news on your little smartphone within 30 seconds and from infinite number of sources. So why would you go and listen to the radio to hear that? Now, I'm not saying there shouldn't be news, but what I am saying, if people can go to the radio to hear the news, that better be damn good news. That better be credible news. That better be professional. That better be full of resources and something that is extremely valuable to the listener. And again, these are the challenges. This is a heck of a time to be in media, Chad. It really is.
It's changing so much. I teach a media literacy class every semester, and I tell my students every semester, I have this big graphic that shows the media conglomerates and the companies they own, and I feel every semester I'm having to update that because Disney's purchased somebody else, or Time or Warner Media's bought some other company. It's always constantly changing all the time now.
Yep, absolutely. It's very challenging. And that is the thing that you actually are teaching. You're teaching the changes in media as they're happening. Now, some of it is just the newsy part of it, who owns what and all of that. The next layer of information is, what does it mean when one company takes over another company? What is their history? What is their tendency? What can we look forward to? Are they going to expand their services, or are they going to contract their services? Are they going to do cost cutting? Are they politically biased? All kinds of sociological, psychological, philosophical elements take place as a result, the consequences of these changes that you're following. So yeah, it is extremely challenging. Now, I still do some radio shows. I fill in because I love keeping my hand in it, and I do the shows that you mentioned before. But sometimes when I'm on the radio and I'm on for 3 hours, I have to maintain a connection to the breaking news constantly, because within the 3 hours of a radio show, stories change. That's how fast things are happening. Used to be, you go into the studio, you have a copy of the local newspaper, maybe you also have a copy of a national paper, USA Today, New York Times. You clip out all your articles from this morning, and that's the day's news. There's nothing new happening. A bulletin will break if something major happens. We break into the story, into this, music, because something happened. But now it's a constantly changing passing parade of news and updates and breaking developments and 14 things happening at the same time and changing at lightning speed. Very challenging.
It does seem, though, that a lot of radio companies are trying to plan for the future. iHeartMedia, they have the iHeartRadio app, they have a podcast network. A lot of the other major players in radio, they're investing in podcasting. They're buying out podcasting companies. So they're trying to plan for the future.
Yeah, they are. And in some cases, they're doing the best they can. In some cases, they're doing a really good job. all of them are challenged by these daunting changes that we're talking about. But I certainly didn't mean to indicate that they're not professional and that they're not doing their best. They are doing the best they can, and in some cases they're doing a good job. In some cases they're not. They're creating an infrastructure that's very different than the one we had before. I mean, these radio apps that we're talking about, the iHeart app, radio.com, which is Entercom, and then you have TuneIn and things of that nature. These are in competition with radio stations, the old on-air radio stations that go into AM and FM, and they're promoted by the owners of those stations. So in a way, in order to build this new paradigm that we've talked about, the old line radio companies are having to promote something that in fact competes with and undoes the place where they have most of their assets tied up. And that is in the old line, you know, licensed radio station. It's kind of a tricky position to be in. You're using the old platform that you have all your money tied up in to promote a new platform that is replacing the platform where all your assets are.
It is no doubt a very interesting time to be in media, to follow radio, television, movies, newspapers. It's amazing how much, and I tell my students this, I'm 34, I started in radio as a teenager, and from 16, 17 to now, it's changed a lot. And not just radio, but all media industries. It's just in constant change. And it's amazing where it's all heading. Cable TV, they're competing with all these apps, Netflix, and NBC's got an app coming out. HBO has a new app coming out. There's so much competition now for your eyes, your ears, and your money.
And your money, no doubt about it. So, you know, hopefully the bar will be raised and the products will improve. And eventually the ones that are adapting to the demands of the marketplace and to the needs of the public, they will succeed, and the others will fall by the wayside, because you just can't get by without product that people want forever. It takes a lot of money to run these operations, and the more the audiences are fractionalized, the less opportunity you have to create a mass audience and get big bucks for advertising. You know, there's only one Super Bowl. Matter of fact, there's only one Super Bowl. That's the only thing I could think of where one channel, one TV channel, and maybe one radio channel has all of it going on. When we have an election night or something of that nature, yeah, everybody's focused on it, but you have all the different channels broadcasting it. I think the Super Bowl is the only singular event left where you have that many people focused on one channel. It's almost mystical in terms of the idea of everybody watching the same show. When you think about it, it's a lot of focus of human brain energy. So if you have all small audiences, you have to have small advertising rates, and you can't run big time operations if you don't have income. The biggest problem right now facing the media is monetizing it, figuring out ways to pay for the enormous expenses of running these complicated setups.
Exactly. It costs a lot of money. Even if you don't have a radio station, you mentioned podcasting. If you want to promote your podcasts, you know, unless you're with iHeartMedia, some large company like that, there's a lot of costs involved about marketing and trying to get your name out there. If you're an individual, if you're independent, it's interesting because everybody's competing with one another. You have iHeart and they're competing with other professional podcast producers. And then you have iHeart competing with someone like Joe Rogan that's independent, produces his show himself. They're competing with him as well because he has a large audience. So it's so much competition. It's really fascinating to watch all this play out.
Yep, it is.
All right. Well, this has been a really fun discussion. I could sit here and talk with you for another hour or two about all this stuff. It's fascinating and fun to me. But you are a busy man. You're running Talkers. You have the Michael Harrison Rap. You have the Michael Harrison Interview podcast. You're staying busy. So I don't want to keep you too long today. You got a lot going on in all mediums.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I find my career to be very invigorating and colorful, and I'm very grateful I've had the opportunity to be involved in the golden age of radio, and here to be involved in this modern age. And I'm still I still do my best to try to remain on the leading edge. I'm not a merchant of nostalgia, although I'd be a good one. And I do believe in the importance of history, but I'm very, very I'm very grateful to still be doing what I'm doing. And I find it as interesting today as I did when I was a kid.
Well, on a personal note, I enjoy your content, your podcast. I learn a lot about radio and the history of radio and what's happening from it. I read Talkers all the time. I really enjoy the content you're putting out. It's very educational, informative, and I enjoy it.
I appreciate that, Chad. You're doing a good job. You're inquisitive. You're a scholar. You're a talent. You do a very good job in that end. And the fact that you're a teacher is noble. And I think that it's very important that guys like you are out there not only learning but also sharing with the new generation coming up behind you, because we're going into an uncharted area, and we need all the brain power we can muster. So I've enjoyed talking to you, and I wish you well, and I hope that we get to talk again soon.
I hope so. It's always a pleasure to have you on the radio, podcast, whatever it is I'm doing. It's always a fun discussion, and really appreciate you taking the time to be on today. You can listen to the Michael Harrison Rap on the iHeartRadio app. The Michael Harrison Interview is available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Visit Talkers.com for daily updates on what's occurring in the talk radio industry. I'm Chad Whittle, and I'll catch you next time on the next edition of the Chad Whittle Podcast.
Subscribe to the Chad Whittle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, or listen at ChadWhittle.com. The Chad Whittle Podcast with Chad Whittle. Copyright 2020. All rights reserved.